Welcome to the Wise Money Show with Garwin and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial. Get your questions ready and send them to wisemoney@klbbradio.com. Questions about finances, long-term care, insurance, and everything that goes along with preparing for the next phase of your life. Gar and Leanne Lenander have the answer. Email your questions to wisemoney@klbbradio.com or visit them online at wisemoney-klbb.com. That's wisemoney-klbb.com. And now it's Wise Money on KLBB with Gar and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial Services.
Welcome to Wise Money. This is Gar and Leanne Lenander inviting you to join us now for Wise Money. We've got some special things to talk to you about today, questions that have come up to us. But not only that, we just want to mention just briefly that the market is doing its thing, but you know what? It's really holding up well. We've had some good news and some bad news. Mainly the bad news has been overseas and the good news has been here. So that's one of the things that we've been discussing the last 2 weeks. And so we're going to move into some other questions that have come up because people are kind of relaxing now about the market as they're going into the fall and waiting to see what's going to happen this fall. So Garwin, let's start with your questions.
Well, I get some questions on life insurance and on annuities and so forth, and I constantly get these basically the same questions. I need to buy some life insurance. What do I buy? Well, I think that really comes down to a very simple question. What can you afford? This is probably the biggest thing that you should think about. I've talked to people about term insurance, and they say, yeah, but everybody says I ought to buy whole life. Or if I talk about a whole life, universal life, whole life, they say, well, you ought to buy term. There is no perfect answer. What can you afford? What is the best that fits into your budget? What is something you can carry on for more than a year or two or five? This is not something that you jump into and then a few years later say, I want to get out because you're going to lose the money. It's really the question of what can you afford. Obviously, not obviously, but probably a young person should be buying term insurance because they can't afford a lot of other insurance.
And it's cheaper for the individual when they're younger and they buy more for their money.
The much bigger bang for their buck to buy some term insurance. And obviously, the young family guy who's got or woman who's got a raft of little kids, they need a lot of life insurance. And that's why they need to buy term insurance. Now, remember, one thing you need to do is to make sure that it's convertible. Can I change it to a permanent plan without any evidence of insurability somewhere down the road? There are some terms that are not convertible. That's the one question you need to ask. Is this term convertible somewhere down the road? And it probably is. Most of them are. But maybe not. Now, the other question always comes up, and I got to ask again last week. If I die, is it taxable? And that answer is always, again, I got to say qualified. It is not taxable if it's set up properly. So that's the question. Is money comes in, the beneficiary receives the money. It is not taxable, whether that's a spouse, a business partner, a bank who's giving you some money for a loan and they want to hold some of your life insurance, it is not taxable.
I think also you have to say something about what's going to happen with the beneficiaries when they get this life insurance, because the question always comes up, well, me as a beneficiary, am I going to be taxed on it?
No. Very simple, no.
So who's going to be taxed?
The life insurance is non-taxable as it's paid out as a benefit. It is non-taxable. There are some situations where it can be, but frankly, that's so rare that let's always say that it's non-taxable.
It's non-taxable to the beneficiary, but the estate can be involved in that.
Different. Now, if you've got life insurance, it's part of your taxable estate, and then the value of that life insurance could be taxable. But the beneficiary who loses the death benefit is non-taxable.
One of the things I'm going to bring up here, whenever you sit down and do an inventory of your assets and when you do an estate plan, you should look at the fact that you count that insurance coverage that you have. That is part of your estate. So if you have all your mutual funds and you have your retirement accounts,
your home value,
and your cash reserves, and then you look at your home value, don't forget you need to count your life insurance in there too, because that is part of your estate.
And it may be taxable in your estate depending
That's
on your
right.
situation. It may be. But going back to the life insurance to a beneficiary, no, it is not taxable. The other question comes up quite frequently, who should I have as my owner of my policy? Typically, the owner of the policy is the insured. That's, I would say, probably 95% of the time. But again, you might have some business situations where the bank wants to hold it or a loan company wants to hold part of that. And that's perfectly understandable. It's the owner, and they probably are going to be beneficiary for part of the value, but they must have if they're going to force you to buy it, then they have to have a insurable interest on that, although you can transfer it over after you bought the policy. So there are some things to think about when you're going to buy your life insurance.
One other thing to consider too, Garwin, is the fact that if you have life insurance at the company, that may be something that you have to consider when you're buying your life insurance, and especially if you're leaving that company, because that life insurance will probably stay behind.
I tell people when I sit down and talk about life insurance, they say, oh, by the way, I've got some group insurance. Let's not count that ever, because people don't work forever for a company anymore. And when you leave, very likely you lose it. It's probably convertible, but 99 out of 100 people never convert it, and they just walk away and leave it. So when I say, oh, well, I've got 50,000, or I got 100, or I got 300,000 a term, I don't count it, because it's not yours. It's controlled by the company. And if they say, you know what, we're not going to have that insurance anymore, it's too expensive, we lost a couple of people, they can drop it at any time. And so you don't really control it at all.
The question does come up, though, that they can probably buy some of the life insurance through the company.
I think it's a great idea. Nothing wrong with that. Just remember, you do not control it. You do not make the decisions on whether it stays on the books or not. That's up to the company. And people forget about that. Well, I buy it through my business, and my business is very secure and wonderful. Maybe, and maybe not. Second question comes up, and I talked to a lot of people about index annuities. That question comes up, is it really, really true that an index annuity will never lose its value? In other words, you put some money into an index annuity, let's just pick a number, you put in $50,000, and it goes up maybe for 3 years in a row, and now it's worth $56,000 or $58,000, and the market tanks, that money is locked. It will never be less than $56,000. People who bought index annuities prior to 08, 09, and 10 were so happy with me because their mutual funds, their stocks, tanked 20, 30, 40%, but the index annuity never lost any value. That is the design of an index annuity, guaranteeing that they will never lose principal. So that is very, very important. It's whatever that highest value that ever had, that's locked.
Now, when you talk about annuities, Garwin, there's many different kinds. We have the variable annuity, and that is an annuity that's wrapped around mutual funds. It's like a life insurance wrapped around the mutual funds. It
right.
comes from the insurance industry, but they have mutual funds in it. The value of that can go up and down.
That can go up and down. And
that will depend upon what mutual funds you have within that portfolio.
And some of the variable annuities now have locks, but they didn't years ago.
You also have the fixed annuity, which means it's for a certain interest rate you're going to be getting, and then that may change yearly or however the company decides, but you get a fixed interest rate. And in between there really is the indexed annuity.
That has all the benefits of the fixed annuity, and I know people who sell variables don't agree with me on this, but it has none of the negatives of the variable. I like the index much better than the variable.
You're comfortable with the fact that the value can't go down.
Value can't go down, and you get an an honest return, whatever the returns are.
The variable annuities are more expensive.
More
expensive because they're wrapped around mutual funds and there's trading costs and other costs involved in the variable annuity. Does the indexed annuity have costs?
That might be, depending on if you buy any riders or not. But there is a surrender charge, as there is in a variable, as there is in a fixed. If you're saying, well, I'm going to put it in for a year and take my money out, you shouldn't buy an annuity because there are surrender charges.
And they're really for the older person. They're not for
right.
the 20 and the 30-year-old.
Right. Absolutely correct. It's for those people who want a return on their money with zero risk.
So you have to look at your particular situation. You have to look at your age. You have to look at your comfort level. And you have to look at your diversification in your portfolio.
Right. And the other question, should I put all my money in an index annuity? No. Very simple. No.
Let's also talk about riders. You have mentioned a rider. Many insurance contracts have riders on them, and I think you have to explain this a little bit better.
A rider is something that they offer you besides the basic contract, and that says we will do this or we'll do that, but you have to pay for that. That's not part of the basic contract. It's like a rider on a long-term care policy. It's not a rider on an index annuity. It may be a rider on a life contract, and you really ought to explore what the riders are. And say, yeah, I like that, or no, I don't want it. But it's going to add cost to your policy.
And you have the option to do it at different times, too. They will offer it for 1 year. They may not offer it like 5-10 years down the line. But the one thing, too, to take into consideration, if you're buying a rider, you don't have to go through the health history again.
Right. So that's why sometimes riders are important. I've got one more quick question. I'm running short of time. A client called me, or a prospect called me the other day and said, I've been offered some long-term care insurance. He gave me three proposals. Which one do I buy? Well, that's an impossible question to answer because, remember, after 1998, all long-term care policies basically are the same. The National Association of Insurance Commissioners set the rules. If you're going to issue contracts, this is what they look like. Is Company A better than B? No. Is C better than B? No. They're the same. Now, you may like Company A because it's got a big name. You have to look at the experience. I mean, how long have they been in the business? How long have they been doing this? Obviously, Genworth is the big boy there. They've been doing it since 1974. But you got to look at your premiums. Who's got the best premium? What's their experience, of course? What's their history of rate increases? Some companies have had some horrendous rate increases. Some have been pretty small. Are they going to get hit? We don't know. But that's very important. And then you got to look at what are you comfortable with? Which one do you think is going to be the best? And then what riders are available to sweeten up their contract, to make them a little better, a little more palatable to yourself. So there's a lot of things to go with. I can't give an honest answer and say one's better than the other. I have some favorites, but I can't give an honest answer.
Well, one of the things, too, it depends upon your health history as to which company you
right.
go to. And so there are certain companies that are available and certain companies that aren't.
Well, I thank you for being with us this morning on the Wise Money Show. Join us again next week. Hope to have some information for you.
Thank you for joining us for Wise Money.
Experience counts. Now more than ever, when it's time to trust your finances to someone else, experience counts. And Lenander Financial Services are financial professionals who specialize in assisting people just like you with personal finance, investments, retirements, insurance, and long-term care planning. Call Garwin and Leanne Lenander at 952-835-4136. That's 952-835-4136. Lenander Financial Advisory. Experience counts.
Thank you for joining us this morning for Wise Money with Garwin and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial. Join Gar and Leanne each Saturday morning at 11:45 for more of the Wise Money Show. Email your questions to Gar and Leanne, and the address is wisemoney@klbbradio.com. That's wisemoney@klbbradio.com. Or visit them online at wisemoney-klbb.com. That's wisemoney-klbb.com. Join us again next Saturday for the Wise Money Show with Gar and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial on Club 1220 KLBB.